One thing that, in early service that I didn't really bring out real strong in second service was that you've got to know where your feet are is where God has called you to be. Man, that is so important in our life, because we can get ourselves in a lot of things that are good, but if it's not God, I'm going to tell you the truth, it's not good. It's not good. God is the only thing that is good. And it might seem good to the world, and it might seem good to your pocketbook, and it might seem good to your ego, but if it's not where God has told you to be, it's not good for you. You know, David learned this the hard way. David, in a time in his life when it seemed good to him to stay home and not go to war, that ended up being a really big trap for him with the enemy. That ended up costing him a great place of standing that God really, and I'm going to tell you, it cost a lot more than him. Amen, it did. There was such a cost to David allowing himself to be moved out of the position where God was telling him to stand. And the same is true in our life. Man, our lives are called to be victorious. And they're called to have great effect on our family and on our towns and our cities and the kingdom of God. But if we don't keep our feet where God wants our feet to be, there's a cost to that. There's a price to that. And it's real important that as you walk through life, you know where you are is where God told you to stand. Because I'm going to tell you, the world will never be able to confirm that to you. That the world and life situations will never be able to confirm to you on a daily basis you are where God's told you to stand. But God will. Man, that's when we have the Holy Spirit. I love this season. Man, I have grown so much in the Holy Spirit just in this last little bit. The Holy Spirit is your helper. And the Bible says that He'll tell you everything that you need to know. There's nothing that you're going to walk through that the Holy Spirit is not going to speak to you and give you an assurance and a faith and a truth in it. You're never left helpless in your walk in Christ. You're not. And if you believe that, you're believing a lie. And you're not learning to develop intimacy and communication and relationship with the Holy Spirit that is vital to your life going and prospering and being what God wants it to be. The Holy Spirit is a key component to the active life of a Christian believer. It just is. The Holy Spirit is a daily application. It's a daily relationship that we've got to learn to walk in. And it has not been preached any better than it has been in the last month. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is your friend. He is your helper. He is your guide. And He's going to lead you into things that He might be the only one that's telling you you're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be there. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit has told me at times everybody else is wrong. And because I'm going to tell you, if you are standing where God tells you to stand sometimes, the truth is everybody else might think you're wrong. Everybody else might not see what God is trying to get you to see. And so you need to know where you're standing is where God wants you to stand, because God is going to do something mighty with your stand this year. God is going to supernaturally move into our lives in a great way where our feet are this year. And yes, I'm going to tell you, you need to get excited about that season, because every time you see the name of the Holy Spirit being lifted up in the church, you see great things happening outside of the church. You just do. It's a spreading of the Spirit season, and it's such a good place to be. I told him in the early service, and I'm going to use this story because this is such a clear way for us to be able to understand. Just because we're prospering doesn't mean we're in the place that God has told us to be. And I'm going to tell you, the enemy can prosper you. The enemy can come in and he can prosper your life into such a way that he calls you to die spiritually and live physically, and you have no idea. And so there was a season in mine and Mike's life where he was self-employed, and we had, and he still is into a certain part, but he had a great business, and we had believed and we had planted seeds and we had worked years in faith to get his business to a place. I mean, if there's any business owners in here, you know what I'm talking about. It is all in the faith of God walking out something like that. And we had finally made it to a place to where it was easy. And we could see the blessings of God. We could see the hand of God. There was such an abundance in that season. We were having to turn things away. I knew, if I ever knew anything, I knew we were in the place where God told us to be. I could see it physically. I could naturally point out things that I knew that I was believing for me and for him and for our family. And I could see those things unfolding before our eyes. But I'm going to tell you, we don't live by natural. We don't. We live by supernatural moving in our lives. And so in this season, there was this really unique turn of events that ended up putting Mike in a position, in a place to where when he walked into it, he said, "Crystal, when I walked into there," he said, I knew that there was a supernatural work that was going on. Sometimes I'm going to tell you, Abraham never had that problem. Abraham could always recognize when God was walking up. That there was an acknowledgement, even if it would look like a man in a distance. Abraham could have a very clear understanding when God was showing up in his life. And you've got to learn to have spiritual eyes that when the Holy Spirit is moving you into a situation, it causes your spirit man to perk up and to recognize and to become keen. I wasn't there, but my husband was. And as he walked into this season, it was a perfectly God-ordained season. And all of these doors and weird, if I told you, you would say, just like he said, "Crystal, it's got to be God." I was like, God hadn't told me that. God hadn't told me that. But he knew God was positioning somewhere. He knew God was doing something. And I'm going to tell you, in my eyes, we had spent years believing for what we were just now getting to enjoy. We had spent years really planting seeds and standing. And I remember these words coming out of my mouth time and time again. Man, it is so good to be on this side of this season. It is so good to be on this side of this season. And Mike came in and he said, "Honey," he said, "I feel like God is moving me into a new place." And I said, "We have to hear God on that together. There's got to be an agreement here, you know." sometimes we use the submission card, but sometimes wives, we use the unity card, right? It's got to be to agree, right? And he said, "Honey," he said, "I just really feel like God is telling me this is something he's wanting me to do. It's not something he's just wanting to do for me." He said, "I really feel like this is something God's telling me he's wanting me to do." And I said, "I've got to talk to God about this." And I continually talked to God about this. And I really used every form of manipulation that you can use on God in this season. I did. I'm telling you. I would talk about the reason we shouldn't and the good things that people... And there were so many different conversations that went on between me and God. But what I never did was I never humbled myself to hear what God was saying. I wanted to hear what I wanted to hear. And so when it came down to the day of this decision being made, if he was going to take this job, we happened to be at the zoo. We happened to be at the zoo with our kids that day. And he said, "They're going to call me today and they're going to let me know." He said, "I put some stipulations out here." And he said, "Honey," he said, "if they say yes," he said, "I feel like God's told me to say yes." And I was like, "God, don't let him say yes. 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 Prayer of faith. Don't let him say yes." Because to me, that was absolutely a different direction than I really believed God was taking our feet. I'm a person of faith. I like to walk out faith. I do not like have to stand still and watch God move things. Isn't that terrible? God has taught me so much since then. I'm telling you. So it came to a season at that time, and he got that phone call, and he walked off, and he came back, and he said, "Honey," he said, "they said yes." And he said, "But I'm not going to say yes unless you say yes." And I was like, "Oh, no, no, no." And I said, "Well, I can't say yes unless I hear God." I was using that absolutely in the wrong way, because a wife is to submit. You know that, right? A wife is to submit. And I absolutely said, "I've got to hear God." So they had a train. Anybody been to the zoo? They have this train. And I went, I got on this train, and I gave this guy a ticket, and I was so glad nobody else got on that train. And I said, "Let's just go. Let's just go." And me and God had a really good weeping. I knew that guy thought I was crazy. Mike's like, "When that guy pulled back up in that station, honey," his eyes were like this big around. He wasn't quite sure what was going on. But I had to have a moment to understand that where we were going to stand was where God was telling us to stand. And as we went around that turn, I said, "God, I've got to know if this is your will or not. Because there are things that I have believed for. There are things that we have trusted you in. God, I know we're safe in your hands. Is this what your will is for us?" He said, "I didn't give you the yes. He said, because I couldn't trust you with the yes. And that, to me, was one of the best corrections God has given me in a long time in my life, because what that let me know is not everything he can trust me with. And I got to be okay with it. I'm going to tell you the truth, something you need to know in your life, not everything God can trust you with yet. But we're growing. And we're being able to grow and grow and grow. And God really taught me how to be able in that season. And the way that God told me is, man, you can have peace in the turn. Sometimes there's going to be some turns in your life and you don't understand it and you aren't clear why. But if you know God is saying turn here, you can have peace in that turn, because that turn is a part of God's plan for your life. So as soon as I knew that God was telling me yes, man, I said, honey, that's it. We walked into that and we went through 4 years of hell on earth. Hell on earth. But I'm going to tell you what we also went through was 4 years of being able to stand and see the miracles of God time and time and time and time again. And I'll tell you, the strength that has come out of every battle where that place that God has told him to stand is beyond what I ever would have had strength in the battle just believing for God to bless me. God wants to bless you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. God has bigger plans for your life than just that. God has stronger plans. God has more plans in your life that mean something so much more than you just getting everything that you want out of life. Man, God wants to use you. God wants to breathe through you. God wants to change situations because of you. And there is a supernatural place that God is moving us to, but I'm going to tell you the truth. You've got to know that where your feet is where God has told your feet to stand. Because you will not be able to outlast this season if you're standing where you think you maybe should be. Because the enemy is going to give you every reason to turn around and walk away. I'm going to tell you, if God has told you to be in this church, the enemy is going to give you every reason to walk out of this church. But if this church is where God has told you to be, nothing better be able to move you from this church, because this is the place that God is wanting to birth his blessing and his dreams and his passion through you. God's wanting to do things in this church through you. And of course the enemy's going to try to get your feet out of here. But the reason is not to bless you. The reason is to destroy you. If God has placed you in a situation in relationships, if he's placed you there, and if he's speaking to you there, you've got to make sure that you are not allowing the enemy, because of insecurities or inferiorities or being challenged spiritually, that you move yourself out of that. Because God is always surrounding us with good people if we'll let ourselves stay there while we're being transformed. But I'm going to tell you, I go up in my friendships. I don't go down. I love everybody, but I'm always surrounding myself with people that challenge me spiritually. I'm surrounding myself with people that look at my life and they can see what is not God and what is God, because I want that. I want to grow. I want to grow. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, y'all have no idea how much I honestly get corrected. I'm going to tell you, I get corrected quite a bit. And it is the goodness of God to come into my life and correct me, because I don't do most things right, just some things right. But I'm getting more on the some things more than less. Man, I had somebody come last week and talk to me about something with my kids, and they were so right. And I was so wrong. And when they came and spoke that into my life, I was so thankful that God has people looking out for my family more than just me and my husband. I am so thankful that God put people around me that love me and that care about me and that can see farther than I can see and that have a deeper relationship with God in areas where he can trust them with more than he can trust me. And I'm going to tell you, if you stay connected with people that help you spiritually grow, you're going to get stronger and you're going to get stronger and you're going to get stronger. But if you connect yourself with people that are constantly causing you not to walk a spiritual life, you're going to get weaker. You're going to get weaker. And this is where we've got to make sure that when we're standing, because there's some really strong words in the Bible about what we are to do when we're to stand where God has told us to stand. Now, 1 Thessalonians 3:3, this is one of my go-to scriptures. You need to have this one probably memorized if you're getting ready this year to stand. Because when you make a decision, God, you've put me here, you've heard God tell you, you know it's the place that God has told you to stand, you've got to be prepared for the enemy to do everything he can to move you out of that place. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. You've got to know where you're appointed to be. You've got to know where your spiritual calling is invested and what God is trying to do in this season for you. You've got to know that. Because there's going to be a lot of things that come up against you that's going to try to get you to question, am I supposed to be here? Is this the right time? But let me tell you the truth. If the Holy Spirit has come to you and said, I appointed you for this season. I've told your feet to be here. There's been so many times me and Mike have said, it would be so easy not to stand right here. It would be so easy not to have to believe in this kind of faith for this kind of season. But we knew if we turned around and walked away that we were disobeying God. We knew there was an appointing, an anointing for the season of God in our life. And I'm going to tell you, the same is for each person in here. Every one of you, where you are at on your job, in your relationships, in your home, in your life, in your ministry, in your family, you are appointed by God to do some things. And you need to know what those things are. You need to know what God is trying to do in you. Because you are appointed to do things in this season. And I love Paul. I'm going to tell you, Paul had to know all the time what he was appointed to do. Because everybody else was telling Paul he was wrong most of the time. People were constantly telling him and arguing with him how wrong he was most of the time. But I'm going to tell you, Paul wasn't wrong. Paul was right. And he was appointed to bring the church up to a new level. He was appointed to tear down some things that they had called God that was in no way God. He was appointed to do some mighty things in this earth. And he would not allow popular opinion to make him step back. He just stood saying, God, you appointed me to do this. And there was a faith that came in his life through that. Now, God brought back to my this morning, and then me and Micah on the way to church, we looked it up all ago. And I'm just going to explain to you, I'm going to tell you a story that you probably know. And it's so important, though, for us to kind of put ourselves in that picture to understand really what they were facing. In Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and it is not Abednego. That's not the way you pronounce that word. Now, as a kid, that's the way I learned that story. But my Bible does not give me that word. So we're going to just say Abednego because I can't pronounce that word. That's in my Bible for his name. So what happened was God had moved them there. They were in a place. They were in a place that was very ungodly. They were in a position that everything around them was not God. It was very wicked. But God had put them there. God had put them there to do more than what they could see in that moment. They were put there because they were strong and that they were wise. But I'm going to tell you, they were put there to be able to bring a fear of God into a nation. And as they began to allow God to position them, they came up to a test that truthfully, it even in the Word, they weren't sure the outcome of it. But all they knew was, I'm where God told me to stand. I'm where God told me to stand. And I'm going to tell you, you're probably not going to always know the outcome of everywhere you're walking. But one thing you can know is, I'm where God told me to stand. God, I'm where you told me to stand. I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm letting every day, I'm letting what you are speaking to me come out of my mouth into the spirit realm. And that there is transformation in this season, even though I don't see it. So it says in Daniel 3:16 that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, we all know the story. Nebuchadnezzar came and said, you need to bow down to this idol. Had everybody all over stand up and come to a place of submission to something that in their heart was not God and it was not godly. You can't submit to something that's not God and that's not godly. Your heart should keep you from that. The fear of God should keep you from that. The plan of God in your life should keep you from that. And as they begin to make a stand and say, we will not conform. You can't conform. You can't conform to this world. You're never going to look like them. You're never going to act like them. You're never going to respond like them. You can't conform. And no matter how out of place you feel in the place God has told you to stand, it's a right place to stand there, and you cannot conform while you're standing. There is too much at stake. There is too much at stake for what God is wanting to do through you for you to conform to what this world is trying to get you to conform to. I'm going to stop right there and keep your finger right there because I'm going to jump right back there. Everybody turn over to Psalms 1. Last year, every morning, I would get up and God would have me read this scripture. every morning. And I would say, all right, God, I know it. I know it by heart. You mean if God has you constantly going to a scripture, you know it. I knew it. But I'm going to tell you, he would make me physically go and put my eyes on it because he was wanting me to know some things for preparation, for understanding, and for wisdom. Now it says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man. Now I'm going to take that word blessed. I'm going to give you another word for that blessed because I love that word blessed. It's all throughout the Bible. And I used to have a fear of being happy. For years, I used to not think God could make me happy. I'm going to tell you, God can make you happier than you can ever be in life. God can make you happier than you could ever be in life. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. That's not happy. But sometimes you got to get in the Word and confess that Word over you and over you and over you and over you. So that word to me is a really homey word. I love that. But it also means fortunate. So I'm going to read it as this. Fortunate is the man. Now I want you to think back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In a place that was wicked, that God had placed in. I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe a lot of you get up and go to work every day, then the place that you are standing is not a godly place. And you have questioned in your mind, God, am I supposed to be there? I want you to know this morning, you're supposed to be there to possess that land. You are supposed to be there to supernaturally see change. There is an intricate reason God put you there. It's not by chance. If God has told you to be there, God's wanting to do great things in your place where you're standing. So it says, fortunate is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There is a certain direction that God gives us that when God is telling us to stand, he's also telling us there's things we cannot do. We cannot partake in places and things like the world partakes in places and things. You can't do it. You can't do it because God is trying to make the place where you're standing his holy place. And if you begin to operate in that kind of environment, in that kind of a natural way, God won't be there with you. God won't inhabit that place. Man, about a year and a half ago, God really convicted my heart right here because it says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And I was in a place in my life and I was involved in some things. And I'm going to tell you, things were not right. How many of you have ever been somewhere and you just know things aren't right? And things were not right. And I kept on going to God saying, God, this is not right. This is not right. And God has said, that's not for you. That's not for you. That's not for you to stand against. That's not for you to stand for. And God told me to get my hands out of it completely. And he brought me to this scripture right here. He said, you were getting scornful. You were beginning to despise people and despise some things that I'm telling you is not your place to be. Get out of that situation. And I'm going to tell you, I got out of that situation as quick as I could because there's a fear of God when we're walking out the will of God. And when God says, move, you move. When God says, that's not for me, I tell you, but I've been in other times where God has told me to stand and to speak, and it has caused such disruption in the natural world, but there is a place to stand when God is telling you to stand. But blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If people around you are not uncomfortable sinning around you, the problem is not them, the problem is you. That's the truth. We are called to be light. We are called to be light. And there should be a big difference in how we are living and how we are operating, even in ungodly circumstances, regardless of what's going on around us. Because think back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they would not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because they would not stand in the path of sinners. Because they would not sit in the seat of scornful. It got them in a hot mess. But God went into that hot mess with them. God had prepared that hot mess for them. God was wanting to bring a fear of God on a people, and God knew it was going to take somebody who could stand in God's presence and declare that God was righteous, that God was holy, and God was the only one that they were going to serve. There is such an important way that God will move us in these places because it became a very intricate standing in their life. And they had to come to a place in their life where they knew they were not going to walk talk and act like people that they had to work around and live around, but they were still going to have to stand there and say, this is God's place because I'm standing here. And God showed up. And God showed up because if your delight is in the law of the Lord, and if you're in law, he meditates day and night, you're going to be like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You're going to be a tree. And you're going to be planted where God has told you to be planted. And you're going to bring forth fruit that nothing but those circumstances could bring forth. God is wanting to grow things in you. Just like this past man, it's been a warfare season. But God was wanting to grow things inside of our lives that only God could do in this stand. And it is good for you. It is good for everybody that is around you that sees what God is doing through you. And I'm going to tell you, it's good for the world to see what's right. The world sees what's wrong enough times every single day and every single moment. It is good for the world to see what is good. It is good for the world to see what is right and what is holy and what the Word says and how you activate it in your life. It is good for the world to see that. Even if it's not easy for you, it's good. It's good. All right, so now jump back over here. Actually, I'm going to throw you real quick one more place before I do that. Turn to Jeremiah 17. You know I'm hitting all the good ones tonight. I love the prophetic part of the Bible. All right, Jeremiah 17. No, that's not it. No, that's 37. Yeah, Jeremiah 17. The reason God is wanting to bless your life by causing you to make such a stand is because the Bible also says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, a man who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes. I'm going to tell you, you can't naturally tell what's good for you and what's not. You really can't. Because a lot of times when we have to take our medicine, it don't taste good, it don't feel good, it don't smell good, but my gosh, it's good for us. It is good for us. And you've got to be able to see what God is telling you to see to know what you need to take this year. Because you can take a lot. I'm going to tell you, I've walked through some seasons and I have found out in my life I can take a lot. Because the Holy Spirit is in me and He is strengthening me and He is doing things greater than I could believe He could ever do. But I'm going to tell you something more than that. You can take a lot in the Spirit. You can take a lot in the Spirit. You can take a lot. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego could take the fiery furnace because God was opening up a heaven sight that all of them got to see God in the fire with them. You don't know the testimony that makes to people. You don't know how much that shows people what God really is, because a lot of people get up every day and they walk into a fire without God. A lot of people walk into situations and circumstances we could never even imagine, and they have no idea that there is even a God that wants to get inside of there with them. So when someone sees you walk through a season, and they see you make a strong stand, and they see God come down in your life and get involved in it with you, and they see a miraculous change, there's going to be a testimony that comes out of that that is more than just your testimony. There's going to be a testimony that says, there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. And when you're facing something that you have faith, when they're facing something that they don't know the answer, they're going to remember, well, at least I know there was a God for them. At least I know there was a God for them. And there is a place that God is wanting to bring each one of our lives individually to where we challenge ourselves to walk it out. To we are not okay just living it in the church and walking out a different way. To the way we walk in here is symbolic to the way we're going to walk out there. It's a spiritual place we're called to walk. All right, so back over to Daniel. And they have just made a decision. They are not going to bow. They are not going to walk in the path of the ungodly. They are going to stand where God has told them to stand. And it said, they told the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But it goes on. And he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. I'm going to tell you the truth. You are not God. God is God. And me and Mike have walked into so many situations and we have stood there and we have said, we believe God is going to come through. But if not, God is going to get the glory out of our life. That is the walk of a believer. It's not for your glory, it's for His glory. Your life is to lift up His name, because you can't save people, but God can. You can't change people, but God can. And you can actually walk through any situation and you can humble yourself before God, and God will lift you up. But as God is lifting you up, it's not you He's wanting to lift up, it's His name. It's His glory. It's His power. It's His blood. It's what He can do through you. So then when Nebuchadnezzar found out that there really was a God, that that golden image was not a God, he said this, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him. And they have frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree." Now, this is an ungodly king speaking. This is an ungodly situation speaking. This is what happens when you make a stand in the Spirit speaking. "I decree that any people, any nation, any language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Donald, and Jane, and anyone who says something against that God shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made as an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." I'm going to tell you, there's no other way that your life can work out except listening to the Spirit and letting the Spirit lead you. There is no way you can move into all that God has for you this year unless you are letting the Holy Spirit lead you into situations and God's name is being lifted up and you are delivered out of it. You are not mighty enough to do it. And if you think you are, you're cursed. If your strength is in yourself, you're cursed. You've got to know that it's more than you. It's God in you. It's God in you. And it is such a good place to be. Now, I'm going to end this morning with Isaiah 40. And I told him in the early service, every year God gives me a prophetic chapter over our year for our family. And I'm telling you, God is so faithful. I can watch that thing roll out all throughout the year. And at the end of the year, I look back at that and I was like, if I would have known that's where we were going. God is faithful to teach you where you're going. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. He wants you to know. He wants to be able to give you faith. He wants you to see His word unfolded. He wants you to be able to trust Him. He wants that for you. Now, here's what I believe that, and I believe it's for more than me. I believe it's where God has taken the church. I'm not real political, but I'm going to say this because I think this needs to be said. If a man can get up and say, this is God's nation, and God can turn around that nation in such ways that we've seen it be turned around, I'm going to tell you the truth. What can God do through you? What can God do through you? Get behind what God is saying in your life. Get behind what God is doing. Don't be timid. Don't be timid about what God is telling you. Be bold to speak out the plans and the purposes and the breath of God into your life. Be bold to breathe into your situations, because I'm going to tell you, it's going to change. It's going to change. All right, it says in Isaiah 40, "Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the desert a highway for our God." I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is bringing something in. He is ushering something in. We're on the beginning side of it, but there's a coming up behind it. And I'm going to tell you, I want to be involved in all of it. I don't want to miss a part of it. Man, when John the Baptist came in, he was saying, prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way. He was saying something a lot more than what they understood. Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming. So if God is getting you to prepare your hearts and prepare your stand and prepare your lives, there is something good coming to you. "And every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low." The crooked places, the places in our life we have not been able to fix, the places in our life that we have not been able to let fall off. It says the crooked places will be made straight. And the rough places will be made smooth. and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How's it going to be revealed? It's going to be revealed in you. See, the glory of the Lord wants to come into your life, and it wants to reveal to you and through you what only a loving Father could do for you. The glory of the Lord is not wanting to come into our lives and make it hard. He's wanting to come into our lives and make it good. He knows what a blessed life is. He knows what a fortunate life is. We don't always know that, but I'm going to tell you, He does. He wants to come in and make it a good place so that all flesh, every ungodly person, every godly person, that the glory of the Lord will be revealed to all flesh, and all flesh shall see it together. That stand that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego that they made, they were not the only ones that got to see it revealed. All did. And it gave such glory to God. It gave such a testimony to what God can do in their life. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful season. It's a wonderful season. It's an important season. It's a season that God is wanting to birth into your life. And I've said this since the first of the year. I've said this since November. God's wanting to dream through you this year. God's wanting to dream through you this year. I'm going to tell you, when God started breathing, started dreaming through Joseph, man, his brothers completely turned away from him. Man, his life went down so far you couldn't even hardly see him. But I'm telling you, he was where God told him to be. He was doing what God told him to do. He was in a place of waiting and watching and breathing and breathing. And I'm going to tell you, more than Joseph's family got to see the glory revealed in Joseph's life. Every time you open up your Bible, you get to see the glory that God revealed in Joseph's life. And I'm going to tell you, God is no respecter of person. He's got the same plans for you. You've got to get your feet where God wants them to be this year, and you've got to let Him dream and breathe through you. Father, right now, Lord, I just pray. God, I pray that Your word is truth. Lord, I thank You that everything that comes out of my mouth, Father God, that it has come out of Your word. And I pray tonight, Lord, that it goes into our lives and it does a sure work. Holy Spirit, I pray that there is a clinging to the words that You have spoken, and it causes such a revival, such a revelation, that they are either where God told them to be, or they need to get where God has told them to be, because God is wanting to prepare a highway, and they are supposed to be a part of that plan. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for the great plans You have in Pine Bluff. I thank You for the feet that have been placed there and what You are breathing into that place. God, I thank You that Pine Bluff is just waiting on the timing of God, because there are men and women there and the breath of God is going out. And I thank You we're going to see Pine Bluff change this year in such a supernatural way. The gates of hell over Pine Bluff will not ever stand against the church. Father, I thank You, Lord, that there are so many people You have placed. And I thank You that You are encouraging their hearts and that You are strengthening their hearts, and You are giving them visions, and You are able to plant into them such a place, such a position of standing. And I thank You, Father, that as they walk it out this year, that they're going to see the glory of the Lord revealed all over their life, all over their jobs, all over their families, all over their relationships. Lord, they're going to see the glory of the Lord revealed, and everyone around them is going to see it too, Father. I thank You and I praise You, Jesus, that You are doing a sure work, that You are building a strong foundation. And I thank You, Jesus, that what You intended to do, that You are faithful to complete it in each one of our lives. I want you to say that. Say, God, I believe You are faithful to complete it in my life. Get my feet where they need to be. Get my heart established in You. Get my ears hearing what You're saying. And get my mouth filled with Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.